Well, welcome, church. It is so good to have you with us today. My name is Webb Armstrong, and I'm the pastor here at New Zion. For all of our guests, our Biker Sunday guests, thank you for coming, man. We really do appreciate you guys coming and being with us today. You showed up and showed out, and so we've been looking forward to this time for a long time, just get ready to have Biker Sunday and everything to just celebrate. So we want you to make yourself at home. We really do. We're glad that you are here. When we first started talking about having Biker Sunday, I sat down with Randy and Keith and some of the others and said, hey, man, let's go ahead and have a Biker Sunday. And I was talking to our associate pastor, Brother Jess, and I said, man, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be great if we could have like one of these celebrity bikers? You know, wouldn't it be really great if we had one of these guys that came that everybody kind of knows, you know, TV personality kind of deal, that's a real biker, kind of come in and be our special guest. And being the guy that Brother Jesse is, he said, I'm going to get on it. I'm going to get right on that. So he contacts me, you know, like days later, hey, Brother Webb, I just want you to know, I got it. I got it taken care of. I'm like, what do you mean? Don't worry about it, man. I got it. It's going to be a surprise for you. You're going to love this. And I just like, okay, Jess, no, you know, what's going, who's coming? I got it anyway. So today, it is my great privilege and honor to welcome a special guest. Maybe a lot of our biking, non-biking friends may not know this guy, but all of the bikers know him. Founder of West Coast Choppers, out on the West Coast, out there, now out of Austin, Texas, Jesse James, world-renowned custom bike builder. Everybody knows about Jesse James and his bikes. And so we've got Jesse James coming in today for our worship service. Amen. So let's give him a good round. Come on in, guys. Bring him on in. Bring him on in. He's coming. Straight from Austin, Texas. I've been excited to see this. I don't know how he got it pulled off, but here he comes. Is he coming? They're telling me he's coming. Choke it. Turn the gas on. He's coming. Jesse James, all the way from Austin, Texas. He may have left. I don't know. Here he comes. All right, let's give him a hand, guys. Jesse James from Austin, Texas. I know you rode in a long way on that.
How's everybody doing?
It's in its proper place, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it might make these other
this
guys look better.
This makes your bike look good, brother. Yeah. I thought Jesse James was coming, man.
Well, you see, what happened was I called him, and he knew who I was already, and he thought, you know, your name's Jess, it's pretty close, you got a good beard, I mean, you can pull it off, it's a long ways for me to come. He said, you're just as famous as I am, so just get on your bike and go.
Oh, so yeah. So y'all's plan was that these folks wouldn't know the difference between you and Jesse James.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much, yeah.
And your bike and one of his bikes, right?
Yeah, this is custom, this is a custom bike.
Tell me about this bike, man.
Well, it's one cylinder. Yeah, okay. It's got a custom headlight on it.
I see that. Yeah. You got to have some chrome on it.
I see it. And it's, you know, it's got all-terrain tires.
I see
all-terrain.
That.
You go anywhere, everywhere. And it's in stealth mode because it's camouflage.
Camouflage.
Yeah, that's how I roll. It's camouflage.
That's
you know.
Mississippi redneck right yeah, there, yeah. I guarantee you.
Yeah. It's got, you know, custom storage compartments right here.
Not really a saddle bag. It's like a fake tank bag.
It's a fake tank bag. Okay. Yep. Uh-huh. Made by Coleman, man. Coleman. It's a special order.
Special order bike.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Don't tear it up, brother.
I think I broke it.
There you go.
Okay.
So you thought that no one would know the difference between you and Jesse James, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see you got you some tattoos.
Yeah, you know, and I got this from the thrift store.
You got this from the thrift store.
It's got a man named Randy's name on it.
Really? I see that.
But I just couldn't cover that up.
Oh, we'll cover that up. Yeah. Won't nobody ever know.
And it has some stuff on here, some things I had to take off of it.
Probably so.
Because of setting.
Probably so.
Yeah, you know, some of the things weren't quite appropriate for the setting, so I had to take them off. So, and it says Special Forces on here, and I thought that was appropriate for me.
So I got that. That works for you.
Yeah, uh-huh. So a lot of things, it kind of goes along with who I am, you know.
Okay.
But there's one thing I missed.
What?
I'm missing that patch that goes on the back.
That big patch?
Yeah. You think I could get one of them?
We might have to get you one of those.
I need one of them.
If you had that, everybody would really think you're just
I'm going to fit in. See, I need that.
You need that patch. You need some colors.
Yeah, I need that. So.
All right, then. All right. Well, y'all, I don't think Jesse James is going to make it, so I apologize, but this is as close as we got, right? Jesse James did it. Amen?
That's it. That's it. Watch your toes.
I wish I could push mine that easy. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, it makes a good point for us, though. You know, sometimes what appears to be on the outside may not really be what's on the inside, right? Hey, if you got a copy of God's Word, and I hope that you do, turn with me to 2 Timothy this morning. When we talked about having this service months ago, immediately God laid a message on my heart about what it looks like on the outside versus what it is on the inside. And we in the motorcycle fraternity, if you will, or world or whatever, you know, we kind of look apart, and it's easy to get together. There's a great camaraderie between folks who ride and all those different things. It's been such a privilege of mine through the years to ride, and had opportunities. There's guys here today that I've been on mission trips and motorcycles. Just been a blessing to me. But I realize that a lot of times that what you appear like on the outside may not necessarily be what's really happening on the inside. And that's not a biker thing. That's a life thing. It's a life thing. So my prayer today is that as we look to God's Word, He'd really reveal to us not maybe how we look on the outside, but really what's going on the inside in our heart. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're just going to read 5 verses this morning and make a few comments about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, and haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. When Paul was writing these words to his young understudy Timothy, if you will, it's kind of toward the end of his earthly ministry. Paul's getting ready, man, to his reward. He's getting ready to go home and be with the Lord. And so he's trying to encourage this pastor friend, this young man who he's leaving behind, to continue in the work. And he gives him this word of warning. I just want to look at these verses this morning, and maybe we take a look at our own hearts. We see in the first verse right there, it says, "But in the last days, difficult times will come." We're living in some pretty hard times, church. Amen? I mean, when I say that, don't get me wrong, we're also living in some great times, some amazing times. I mean, just the technology that we have today has really transformed our hearts and lives. I mean, we all walk around with small computers in our hands. You can go to the dollar store and for about $1.50 pick up a digital watch. And they say there's more technology in that watch than there was in Apollo 13. And it's just this amazing world that we live in. The stuff that many in this room used to read in the funny papers about Dick Tracy looking at someone on his little watch phone, hey, that's every day for us now, right? I mean, through technology, we can do amazing things. We really can. We have some amazing things that are available to us, worlds of information, all sorts of things. And as good as that is, there are also some difficult situations because of that. But technology is here to stay. And it's transformed our world, and for many of us, it's been a positive for it. When I think about our homes, I'll never forget, there used to be an old deacon in our church. He said, "I'm better than Solomon, man. I'm better off than Solomon. Solomon never had an air conditioner." You know what? Sometimes we kind of take for granted just the blessing of being able to walk into a home. We hit a switch, and it's cool in the summer and warm in the winter. I mean, we have such technology and such creature comforts, if you will. Spent a lot of time around the world ministering in places like Haiti and in India, China, different places like that. To be honest with you, I really think that America is just about the only place. We build rooms in our houses for our cars. We really do. You realize that most folks don't do that around the world, but we do. I mean, we're just so blessed. We really are. So we got a wonderful, wonderful blessing of all of our creature comforts that we have. When I think about travel, man, we can get on a plane this afternoon and be on the other side of the world tomorrow. A good friend of ours, Brother Mark Howson, is here. We do a lot of work with him in England. This is his third trip to the States. I mean, he got on a plane yesterday, and I picked him up last night in Jackson. That's just amazing. It's just amazing the travel that we can have today, all because of all the technology and the advancements that we have in travel and so many things. We're doing amazing things. We have some amazing things at our disposal, if you will. We really do. When I think about medicine and medical treatments and things, just the advancements that are happening in the medical field are really amazing. I don't know about you, the more that I hear about these new hips and hearts and all this kind of joints, the older I get, the more I like to hear it, amen? Because I know I'm going to be needing me some of them pretty soon. But the reality of it is we're really having some amazing advancements just in healthcare. I remember when I first went into the ministry 22 years ago, man, you go in the hospital and have a heart cath, and all they could really do is to see the problem. But now they have the instruments, they can go in and fix so many things. Just the transformation of our medical field. It really is amazing what men and women can do, that God has given them the knowledge to be able to do. So we're living in some amazing times. We really are. But the reality of it is this, guys. For all of our advancements that we've had in our society and in technology and in all these, man, we look at society around us, and it seems to be crumbling and falling apart, doesn't it? We're really living in some challenging times. We never seem to be more entangled in sin and immorality and the destruction of the things that really matter the most to us, our families, our homes, the values of our country. These things are really deteriorating quickly. The enemy is actively at work, and it brings me great heartache and great pain to see when he wins. I don't like it when the enemy wins, amen? And he's winning too much. There are too many people who are bearing the cross in the name of Christian who are not living in victory. They're living in defeat because the enemy is winning. See, Jesus said us in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's good at what he does. He is stealing, killing, and destroying all things in our lives that he can get a hold of that will rob God of his glory. But Jesus said in that same verse, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus wants you and I to live an abundant life. That just doesn't mean a lot of years. It means that we live the life that he's commanded us to live, that he's called us to live, that he created us to live. That's what it's about. And it's about him. It's about his kingdom and about his glory, not so much about ours. But what we see happening around us is that the enemy is destroying too much of our lives, too much of our homes, too much of our families. And it says here in this text that in the end times, difficult days will come. So we have to ask the question, are we living in the last days? You know, that's a big question. Are we living in the last days? And the answer is very plain. Yes, we are. We're living in the last days, guys. Now, the reason why I can be so bold about that is this. In John chapter 14, verse 3, the word says that Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way I'm going. Jesus said, look, guys, I'm leaving. I'm fixing to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised in 3 days, but then I'm going to go and prepare a place. And why would I do that? So that I can come back and get you, and you can be with me. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, I want to tell you something, man. If you walked in these doors today, and you're trusting in your religious connection to a church or something like that to get you into glory, you need to hear loud and clear from the Word of God today. It is only through a real relationship with Jesus Christ that we can be saved. See, because he's the only one that's dealt with our sin. He's the only one that took my sin to the cross. He's the only one that took your sin to the cross. He is the only way. You can't be good enough, churched up enough, moral enough, all those things. You can't meet his standard that way. So what we have to do is get to that place of crying out for mercy. God, I'm a lost sinner, and I need salvation today. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. And when we say Lord, guys, that means this is it. I get off the throne of my life and place him on the throne and say, you now rule and reign over my heart and my life. That's what that means. It doesn't mean I want my get out of hell card. It doesn't mean that I come say what the preacher tells me to say so I can do what I want to do and just live by grace the rest of my life. We need to live by grace, but that grace needs to be transformational, guys. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't think it was a good suggestion. He didn't think it was highly probable. He said, you must be born again. But when Jesus said he's leaving and coming back, the reality is we're living in the last days. Because when he said that, he said into action, if you will, a series of events that somewhere out there, there's a stopping point. Life as we know it today will end. Life as we know it, guys, is going to come to a sudden halt when Christ returns. And the Bible says that men say, you know, y'all been saying that for years. Where is it? He's coming. But because of his long suffering, because of his patience, because he desires for all to be saved, he is waiting out of his grace and out of his mercy. But there will come a day when he will return. And let me tell you something. When that happens, all the world that we know will be transformed and changed. Can you imagine a place that's never known sickness, never known sorrow, sadness, illness, disease? No place like a cancer ward. No place like a nursing home. No place like a hospital. No place like a funeral home. You'll never in heaven be gathered around in a cemetery somewhere to say your goodbyes. Why? Because sin has been defeated, and we're living in a place where sin will never touch again. We can't even begin to, we don't even know what that world looks like. We're so at home here in this sin-fallen world, we can't begin to even know what that world looks like. But I want you to know something. Heaven's going to be greater than anything you could ever dream or imagine. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. But even not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows. For the coming of the Son of the Man will be like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came. Little insert right there, they really started to understand then. And the flood came and took them away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. See, I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime or your lifetime. It may not be another 5 years, 5,000 years. I don't know. But I do know this, it's going to happen. And today we're one day closer to it than we were yesterday. This week we're 1 week closer than a week ago and a month and a year. We're moving down this line, guys. And so, yes, we're living in the end times. And Jesus said, the angels don't know. He doesn't know. Only the Father knows. So the next time that guy shows up on Oprah Winfrey and tells you he knows when Jesus is coming back, I don't think you can count on that. I mean, if Jesus don't know, I don't think some guy on Oprah is going to know. Amen? But the reality of it is this. Jesus is coming back. We're living in the end times, and we need to realize that and understand that. And then verse 2, 3, and 4, look what he says. He says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. To that I say, that's us, amen? I mean, you read that and say, does that not sound like us? Does that not sound like the world that we live in? 18 different terms or phrases used to describe what sits our society to a T. That's our world. Now, if we said that, hey, when I read that, that just sounds like our world every day. And you'd be right. It does. I mean, are you to the point where you're tired of seeing just the decay and the fall of the moral standing around us? We're losing it, guys. We're losing it quickly. We're losing it quickly. We are blessed in this country, and we're blessed in this area of the country to still be able to stand up and worship the Lord Jesus Christ without fear of persecution. We don't have to worry about someone coming against us. We don't have to worry about just because we're the church of Christ, someone coming against us saying, I don't want to hear about your gospel. I don't want to hear about your Bible. I don't want to have anything to do with that. But can I tell you, the winds of change are blowing. And we need to wake up. We need to see. I mean, God has blessed this country. And what have we done in return of it? I mean, we've slaughtered over 50 million of our unborn children, guys. How are we going to stand up and say, God bless America, when this is what we've done? So many things are falling apart around us. And it's so easy to look at this list and say, that's us, man. That's us. It's even easier for us to look at this list and say, yeah, I know some people that describes to a T. We look down the line and say, yeah, that's them. A bunch of selfish people. Arrogant folks, materialism driving everything. I'm really reluctant to use that word materialism standing in front of this motorcycle. And can I tell you something, guys? It's not about your stuff. See that motorcycle right there? It's just some metal and rubber. That's all it is. But let me tell you something. When you or I take something like this, and it don't have to be a motorcycle for those of you who don't ride, it can be whatever. It can be your sewing machine, your oven, your deer hunting rifle, whatever. When we put it in a place where it's above the Lord Jesus, it's become an idol. It's not about your stuff. It's about the place where you put your stuff. That's what makes the difference. But see, guys, we read that list and we say, man, that sounds just like our place. That sounds like us. It sounds like us right now. But the reality of it is this. When Paul was writing this, he wasn't just describing a society someday coming in the future. He was describing man's heart now and the way it's always been. Paul was describing what it looks like in our heart every day because we live in a sin-filled world. And let me tell you something. Our tendency is to read that list and say, yeah, I know some people just like that. Man, we got a family in our community that's just like that. They just like, I know everything you just read. They're doing that right there in their family. Can I tell you something? That's me and you apart from Jesus Christ. Oh, man, how easy it is for us to look down our holier-than-thou noses at people. But tell you right now, apart from Jesus Christ, we all have the capacity to do each and every one of these things because they're indicators and characteristics of sinful heart. When Jesus was questioned about his disciples and their dietary practices and the laws of the Jews, they said they'd been defiling themselves because they didn't wash their hands properly. Jesus replied in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. From where within, out of the heart, proceedeth evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So you want to know what wicked man looks like? Just take your heart and take Jesus away, and that's it. Well, I'm a lot better than them folks. Not in God's eyes, you're not. Not in God's eyes. How many times have we heard that? I ain't got to go down to that church. I'm living good as them deacons. I'm living good as that preacher. Man, God's not going to stand you up and say, how's your life compared to his? He's going to stand you up and say, how's your life compared to Jesus? You say, well, I fall short. Amen. That's the reason why we need a Savior. That's the reason why we need a Savior, guys. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But we read that list, and we say, man, I know those folks. That's our world. The reality is that's us, and let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 5. We read that list of things, and we think about other people, but look at verse 5. He says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. That's not that lost family down the road. That's that guy, that's that woman, who on the outside has a form of godliness, but on the inside are denying the power of God. So my real question to you is this. I don't think anybody, Jess, no cut to you, brother, but I don't think anybody thought you were Jesse James when you came in on that minibike. Yeah, you had your tattoos, you had your shades, and you had something you were riding. You had a form. But you wasn't Jesse James. So let me ask you something, guys. In your life, do you have a form of godliness on the outside, but there's no power of God on the inside? See, I'm afraid that many of us, we pick up the banner of the cross of Christ. We put a patch on our back that says CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association. Or either we pick up a banner that's the same way and say, well, I'm a member of New Zion Baptist Church or this church or that church. Or we have that form of, if you will, on the outside where we look Christian, and if the preacher comes or someone comes and say, hey, let's talk about your relationship with the Lord. Yeah, I go to such and such a church. I got baptized in such and such a church a long time ago and all these different things. And we start talking about what used to be. The real question is the power of God transforming your life? Is the power of God seen in your life? We're professing a lot of faith, but are we possessing a lot of Christ in our heart and in our life? Paul said they have a form of godliness, but on the outside. But when you take a look on the inside, they have a test and they fail that test. That test is the power of God was being denied. What does it mean? What does it mean? Let me give you some examples from Scripture this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me ask you something, Christian. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Or are you standing up for it? Is the gospel the center of your life? Jesus left us here for one purpose: be my witness. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. And in that witness, guys, we got one thing to do: share the gospel. Share the gospel. That's what it's about. Doesn't matter if it's with your neighbor, with your coworker, stranger on the street, share the gospel. The scripture says that it's the power of God. So what shape and what form is it taking in your life? Or are you ashamed of it? Are you holding back? Well, I don't share the power of the gospel with people because I don't know what to say, or they might ask a question that I don't know the answer to, or this or that or that. And we got excuses. We got excuses. But is the gospel the center of your life? Not only what it's done for you, but it's the center that you're sharing with others. It's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 18, or chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What about the cross? What role does the cross play in your life? When you think about the cross of Jesus Christ, does it remind you every day that you've been forgiven of your sin? That Jesus Christ took the punishment, He took the shame, He took the beating, He took the suffering. He died for you to be forgiven of sin. If that's where we are in the message of the cross and the power of the cross, then let me tell you something. We don't take sin lightly. We don't take sin lightly. We don't have an attitude that says, well, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it and then ask God to forgive me for it later. You know the reason why we don't feel that way? Because the cross is on our mind and on our heart. It's the power of God. Or do we just deny the message of the cross? See, when we think about the cross, when we think about others who are lost and their need for salvation, we realize that what Jesus did for them on the cross is good enough to save them, just like it did me, just like it did you. It's the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all of eternity. Man, let me tell you something. When he thinks about this, are we willing to suffer for the gospel? Because it's the power of God. Paul looked at Timothy and said, you need to be willing to suffer for the gospel in the power of God. Man, we're so worried. We're so worried. Oh man, if I start telling people about Jesus, if I start witnessing to folks, if I actually go to church and worship and serve, man, somebody's going to think I'm a Jesus freak. You know who a Jesus freak is, don't you? Somebody that loves Jesus more than you do. Oh, they're just a fanatic. Yeah, they just love Jesus more than you do. I got saved over 32 years ago, working offshore in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Biggest heathen in Capaya County. It is an amazing thing that God would call me back here to serve. I used to run these roads running from the cops. Hello, Sheriff. Good to have you, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. When nobody out here, it's an easy place to go party and avoid the local law enforcement officers. But God grabbed my heart, transformed me, changed me. Never have I gotten over it. I remember some guys in the Gulf said, he'd get over that for too long. I just never got over it. Have you? Have you gotten over that grace? Man, it's the power of God. But see, we live in a world that says, oh, well, I just want to be very private about my faith. Do you realize Jesus died on a very public cross? What do you think private about it, guys? See, it's the power of God that allows us to do those things. When we suffer for the Lord, is our question, Lord, why me? Or is it, Lord, how can I use this for your glory? Two different attitudes. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of what? The power of God directed toward you. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? The greatest display of God's power is the resurrection. We just celebrated it. We just celebrated last Sunday. Church was full. We have people that show up for Easter. Praise God they come. I wish they'd come all the time. But let me tell you something, guys. Do we live in the power of the resurrection every day? We should. Well, we got your test results back. It's cancer. Praise God. Praise God. God, you be glorified through it. God, you be strengthened through it. Let your power be seen, however it turns out. Just an example, guys. Are we living in the power of His resurrection? What does He say here? Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. There's the power of God living in your life, displayed through your actions, through your words, through your deeds. Or is it just a form of godliness with no power? One more. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, you've been sealed. You have an inheritance that is coming for you that no one can take from you. And it is sealed and reserved. How? By the power of God. Simply put it like this. Are you living more for today or for eternity? Because let me tell you something, guys. Eternity's coming. Eternity's coming. Paul said they have a form of godliness but deny the very power thereof. So here's the question. We need to understand this question and the answer to it, because everything is at stake on how we answer it. Are we just a form of godliness, having some outward appearance from time to time, when we show up at church, when the preacher's around, when this person comes around or that person comes around? Is it just an outward form of godliness that we can put on and take off, kind of like we do our leathers or our helmet? Or are we living in the power of God? In other words, are we the real thing? Are we the real thing? It doesn't matter how big of a show we put on for man. It's what God knows in our hearts that really makes the difference, guys. Are we living in the power of the resurrection? Are we walking in the power of the gospel and His cross? Can those things be seen in our life? If I asked your wife and your children, tell me something about the faith of your father, of your husband, what would they say? The people you work with, you say you're a Christian. Do they say you're a Christian? Or do you just have some outward form of godliness? Or have they seen the power of God in your life? Are we denying them? See, guys, today is the day that we decide. Today is the day. Is it going to be the real thing? Are we just going to play church? Would you pray with me this morning? Our God and our Father, I thank You. I thank You for the power of the gospel, because it transforms and changes sinners like me into children of God. And religion can't do that. Church can't do that. Only Your power can do that. And so right now, Father, I pray for those who've been putting on Christianity and godliness as if it were a wardrobe that they wear at certain times for certain people, I pray right now that You would speak to their hearts. I pray they would call out in brokenness, Lord, in their need for You, so that You can fill them with Your power, transforming that heart and that life. Lord, for those in this room who are Your children, and yet they've walked away from You and they're in the far country, today, right here, right now, is the time when they give their heart afresh and anew to You. Today is the day when they come home so that they can begin to live in that power that You offer to them. Lord, would You have Your way with our hearts here right now, this morning? God, it's not about this church. It's not about this denomination. It's not about anything but you and a sinner's heart calling out and saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you all the time. Every day I'm surrendering. I'm submitting. I'm giving my life to you anew. Lord, would you have your way with our hearts right here, right now? We ask it in your name. And all of God's people said, amen.